information and support. Mia Maxwell, A Day in the Life of a Specialist Palliative Care Nurse. As part of our Day in the Life feature, Mia Maxwell from Loros Hospice in Leicestershire shares details of her role as a specialist palliative care nurse. I knew pretty early on in my nursing training that I was keen to work outside of a hospital setting. By experiencing a variety of different placements, I knew people in hospital were always keen to get home and back to their life as fast as possible. So working in the community was always a goal of mine. I got drawn into the area of end-of-life care because I saw the benefits of providing continuity of support in the community and also giving someone a sense of having their power back at a really important time. Initially, I worked as an end-of-life nurse in the community for 18 months. This role then led to my position at Loros Hospice, where I am a specialist palliative care nurse. Again, I could see all the amazing services Loros provides, but I was keen to be out in the community rather than ward-based. I feel getting to know someone in their own home and surroundings is the best way to build trust and rapport. In people's homes, there are so many different talking points. Even if they are overwhelmed or are losing their speech, there are always photos, furniture, or ornaments that can help me get to know a person and what is important to them. I've been working for Loros for 2 years now, and in this role I really want to make a difference to people's end-of-life care. I feel giving people the ability to have a good death is really important. By this I mean symptoms are managed well, there's a good quality of life at different stages of illness, and plans are made so people's wishes are upheld. The usual route to receive support from a nurse like myself is via a GP. However, I often find that referrals for support for people living with PSP or CVD come through local speech and language therapists, SLT. This tends to be at the point when speech or swallowing begins to be an issue. After receiving a referral, I will make contact to arrange an initial home visit. Sometimes people want the first meeting to be just me and them for one-to-one support, or they will want their whole family there. At the first meeting, I will conduct a full integrated holistic assessment. Largely, this looks at activities of daily living and what they need support with. I also look at complex symptom management, including what medication they take and whether a review of their medication is needed, what their diet is like, any impact on bowel and bladder, and family dynamics, what support system they have in place. While I'm there, I will also assess the person using the Integrated Palliative Care Outcome Scale. This looks at a person's physical and psychological symptoms, social and spiritual issues, communication, information needs, and practical concerns. This scale helps, along with discussions, to plan what support is needed and how frequently. On the whole, if people have symptoms which are well managed, I will visit them once a week or fortnight. If symptoms are at a more complex point, I may visit more often and will phone people in between visits too, just to keep on top of any changes that may be occurring. The support offered very much depends on the individual's needs or preferences. Largely, we are there to help improve quality of life, but sometimes that can just mean providing a listening ear. On other occasions, it can be just a medication review or calling in support from adult social care, who can provide technologies to help someone to remain independent whilst living in their own home. Examples could be providing items such as chair risers, steps, or talking clocks that can provide reminders for medication. Referrals might also be made onto other Loros services such as day therapy or counselling. In my role, I feel I'm very much part of a person's journey from diagnosis to death. I do feel talking about death is important and can assist with advanced care planning. This does help to take the pressure off family members. Ideally, talks around advanced care planning would happen early on following a referral to me. However, it does vary from person to person and how ready they are to make such plans. Discussions will usually centre around care provision, preferred place of care at end of life, and any details of wishes they would like to be followed. If discussions around advanced care planning are regularly blocked, I will suggest to the person that we gain support from a consultant who can come along to a visit and lead the conversation. I very much enjoy my role as a specialist palliative care nurse. I enjoy the one-to-one aspect of providing community support, and I like to think I'm empowering individuals and families and give them back the control around their end-of-life care. What we did in 2022. Thanks to the support of our amazing and loyal supporters and volunteers, in 2022, we were able to continue to provide lifeline support services, such as our helpline, as well as develop our support to include regional support groups for carers of people living with PSP and CBD, holding our first PSP and CBD study day since the pandemic, and collecting your feedback in our 2022 survey of people living with PSP and CBD. Here are just a few more achievements you helped us to deliver during 2022. 5 new monthly carers support groups were introduced from March. 20%, a 20% increase on contact to our helpline. 28 local support groups ran regular sessions, either in person or via Zoom. 36 PSP and CBD education sessions were delivered to 235 healthcare professionals. 69 people received financial support through Voice Banking or PSPA support grant. This is a 27% increase on 2021. 1,288 people living with PSP or CBD, carers and family members registered to receive support from PSPA. This is a 9% increase from 2021. 2,245 HSCPs registered to receive PSP and CBD education or information. 4,454 PSPA publications were circulated by post or email. 11,451 PSPA Matters subscribers engaged with 15,960 people across social media, host 8,440 people in our online forum, Health Unlocked, provide information to 55,559 website users. Fundraising. Business networking with PSPA. At PSPA, we have many ways to get supporters involved in the charity's work. One of the avenues we've been developing over the past year is that of corporate fundraising. We already have many ways to get involved with corporate fundraising at PSPA, such as Charity of the Year partnerships, sponsoring our in-house magazine, hosting an event, or having a collection tin in your office. A new and ever-growing opportunity we are developing is our Business Networking Group. The PSPA Business Networking Group is a community for supporters with an interest in business and focuses on making connections and idea sharing. The group is open to anyone who is self-employed, a business owner, partner, or contributor, or involved with an organisation who is keen to understand or learn more from other like-minded people. Our networking group is an opportunity to share information, knowledge, and stories. While these are predominantly professional, with the primary aim in sharing your area of expertise, you can also touch on any personal link to PSPA if you would like to. This is a place where we discuss skill sets, offer advice and support other members in their work, building and developing relationships as we go. This is all tied into hearing about what PSPA is working on as a charity, as well as ways to get involved and contribute towards our priorities and aims. Each meeting also has a guest speaker. This is either someone from within the charity or an individual with links to the charity from the business world who provides a specialist update at each meeting. The meetings are hosted by PSPA supporter and time management trainer and coach, Steve Watson, alongside our corporate fundraising manager, James Holden. If this sounds like something you might be interested in coming along to and getting involved with, and you have a link to business or an interest in networking, then please email james.holden@pspassociation.org.uk to find out more. Many people support charities close to their hearts. What I love about PSPA is that being a micro-volunteer means I can support in areas that I can add value to. I was invited to join the monthly business network group, where people associated with PSPA can collaborate and share business ideas and help each other out or support others who are dealing with a condition. This has brought me closer to the cause, the PSPA team and others who have been affected by PSP. This is another great connection point with a charity. Erin Osman, Digital Marketing Consultant. The primary objective of the group is to see what we can do to help each other from a business perspective, along with collectively discussing how we can raise the profile and fundraising opportunities for PSPA as a charity. I've been genuinely impressed by how much I've gained from attending the meetings. James and Stephen both do a cracking job of chairing the meetings. As a result of attending this group, I've also had the opportunity to understand much more about PSP, and I would recommend attending if you have any experience, interest of PSP, and would like to network accordingly. David Carter, BNI Support Director, Consultant. Meet the Helpline Team. To help you get to know our knowledgeable Helpline Team, each edition we will be introducing a member of the team. This edition, we say hello to Kathy. Hello, I am Kathy Morton, Helpline Care Navigator for the Western Southwest of England. I started working at PSPA 3 years ago, after previously working in the local authority and social care sector. I enjoy the role as it is so varied, no 2 days are the same. My day always includes responding to calls and emails coming into the helpline. I enjoy being able to listen and support people with questions about symptoms or issues surrounding their diagnosis, ongoing care support, or to give carers the time and space to discuss their caring role. As a wider part of the Helpline Care Navigator role, I also spend time raising awareness and knowledge of PSP and CBD amongst health and social care professionals. This includes forging partnerships and close working relationships with key health and social care professionals in my region who support people living with a diagnosis of PSP or CBD, such as neurologists, Parkinson's nurses, speech and language therapy teams, occupational therapists, and physios. I proactively contact professionals in my area, either by phone or email, and arrange a convenient time to discuss the services we and they provide in more detail and the best ways of working in partnership to ensure that we are able to support as many people with PSP and CBD and their carers. This may include delivering an awareness and education session to a wider team. We often provide these sessions via Zoom, as this enables us to join team learning sessions to give them an overview of both PSP and CBD, and also importantly about the information and support PSPA provides. By linking in and talking with health and social care professionals, it gives me the opportunity to work collaboratively. This means I can gain an understanding of support and services available in an area, how referral processes might work, enabling us to ensure that people who contact the helpline are receiving the right support at the right time. Another element of my role is attending hospital clinics. I currently attend 2 movement disorder clinics, one in Southampton and more recently one in Devon. I am coordinating attendance with other clinics in my region with the hope that these links will increase. Being a clinic enables us to meet people with PSP and CBD and their carers in person. The added bonus of attending clinic is it helps to increase our understanding and knowledge of PSP and CBD. Knowing how diagnosis is made and what happens on a visit gives us the ability to explain this to people when they call and helps to dispel fears they may have about an appointment. Of course, often people have just been diagnosed when I'm in clinic and have a lot to take in. I always encourage them to contact the helpline, where they will find a safe and open place to discuss their experiences with someone who has an understanding of them.